Alright, what's going on everybody? How you all doing? Welcome back to episode 2, or I should say welcome to episode 2 of the Movies Anytime podcast. Pretty much going to be doing the same thing as we did last week, just because I feel like that format worked really well for me, and again, this is supposed to be just a laid-back podcast where I can just talk about whatever, talk about movies and stuff like that, because I like to talk about that stuff. And we're pretty much going to be going in the same sort of order that we did last time. I'm going to be talking about some trailers, I'm going to talk about some pickups, and I'm going to talk about some reviews and thoughts that I had about some stuff and about just some movie-related stuff that happened this past week or so. One of the big things I'm probably going to be talking about is what Martin Scorsese had to say about Marvel movies, so that'll probably be, I don't know if I have a whole lot to say on that, but I did want to touch on it for a few minutes or so. But getting into the trailers that I saw this week, I did saw one, the new Clint Eastwood movie, I believe, called Richard Jewell, which I don't know too much about this. I don't really know too much anything about this movie other than what I saw in the trailer. I don't know anything, assuming it's based on a true story, which seems to be what Clint Eastwood has been doing recently. He just seems to be doing all the, if he's directing a movie, it's going to be based on something, some sort of true event or whatever. But this movie seemed kind of pretty interesting, how you just have this guy who's maybe a little bit weird, and he finds that he's kind of like a, seemingly like some sort of security guard guy for something or other, and he finds a bomb, and I guess the government or the police force, or the FBI, whoever, kind of want to pin him for the bomb. And they try to get him to it. There's a big part in the trailer where it seems like they try to get an audio clip of him saying that he did it. And it seems like they want to pin it on him. It seems like a pretty cool, you know, cool thing to do a movie about. Especially since it does kind of show that, you know, the system can be a little bit broken, I guess. However, I don't know if this is a movie that I would see in theaters, mainly because I don't know, when I go to the theaters, I personally want to have a good time. If I'm going to see something, a movie like this, or like just a real serious movie, I prefer to watch it at home. That's just me. I like the movie theater experience to be more fun for me. You know, some of my favorite movie-going experiences of this year, that's why I think Marvel movies are great theater experiences, just because they're just super fun movies to watch. Even if I do think they have gotten a little bit predictable and kind of follow a very strict formula the last several years, but they're fun movies to watch in theater, and you could feel that everyone else around you is having a good time as well. Just like another one of my favorite movie going experiences this year was seeing Ready or Not in theaters, and I fucking loved that movie. I thought it was great. I thought it was hilarious, especially the ending, and it was just super fun, and just seeing everyone else, just experiencing everyone else in the theater around me just being curious to like what the fuck just happened, was awesome and was great. So that's typically what I like to go to the movies for, unless there's, you know, some other, just a movie that generally piques my interest more than usual, and then I'll probably go see that in theaters. But I'm not really sure I'll see that movie in theaters. Again, I'm not sure. It might be a while even after it's out on Blu-ray that I'll give the movie a watch. But, I mean, it does seem interesting enough, and it does seem like it's going to be a awards movie, if you guys know what I mean by that. But that's basically it. The next one that I saw, and I don't even know if it was an official trailer, and I believe it might have come out of New York Comic Con. I'm not 100% sure. But was like a 3-minute sort of trailer clip thing for the movie Are You Afraid of the Dark? Which, I don't really know anything about this movie. I just know that it has the quote-unquote fat kid from It in it. And I think he played in, like, Goosebumps 2, didn't he? He seems to be getting put in these weird kind of sort of horror movies. I don't know why they keep doing that. But the trailer wasn't anything interesting to me, especially since I didn't know what the hell was going on. It almost seemed like there was a part in the trailer where they're in a Ferris wheel and then the screws are coming undone that just seemed like a very Final Destination moment. There's a moment where these two girls are being chased by these people dressed like clowns, or just kind of dressed like carnival people in general. And I believe there was another part that I can't remember off the top of my head, but I just don't know what the point of the I don't know what the story of the movie is. I don't know if it's a movie or like a series of some sort. I'm assuming it's a movie. But I didn't glean anything from the trailer that I saw that really showed me what the movie was about. So I'm not really sure about this movie. From what I can see, though, the movie does mainly concentrate on kids, from what it looks like. And just from the trailer, it seemed like all the kids acted pretty well. That's one of the things that I worry about most with movies that concentrate on kids, is that if the kids aren't good actors, you probably heard me clap, but if the kids aren't good actors, that can really ruin a movie. And that was one of the things that I really worried about going into the new It movies. Lo and behold, or even like watching Stranger Things, for example, I really hopped on the Stranger Things bandwagon late because I was just worried that the kids would not be good actors, and they did fantastic. Stranger Things is fucking great. The first It movie is super fucking great. It 2 is kind of a mixed bag for me, but overall, I just think that they were great, and the acting for the kids in this movie seemed great. There was nothing in the trailer that led me to believe that their acting was going to be terrible. The quote unquote fat kid, because I don't know his name, I apologize for that, but his from the It movies, he is a great actor. He did well in those movies. I never saw Goosebumps 2. I do have the first one, and I did actually like that movie, but I never saw the second one, so I can't say on that. But in the It movies, he acted great, and all the other kids seemed to be doing great. I didn't recognize any of them, but overall, I want to see another trailer. I want to see a trailer with a little bit more story in it, just so I can see that it's not like a slightly comedic take on Final Destination, because the trailer, if it is supposed to be a horror movie, the trailer definitely didn't portray that or show that. It was like some kind of scary horror themes, but with a mask of comedy. And I don't know if that's what the movie's supposed to be like. I don't know if that's a positive or a negative. I honestly don't know. I do want to see a little bit more on that. And this next one, they didn't release a trailer for this. They kind of did. It was kind of like an animated sort of trailer thing, and it had a little bit of live action stuff at the end of the trailer. And I believe this is supposed to be a live action show. But it's for the show Snowpiercer, which I believe is going to be on TBS, I believe. And I want to put some attention towards this show because there's a movie that came out for Snowpiercer back in, I want to say 2013 was the year it came out, called Snowpiercer, and it's with Chris Evans. And it is fucking phenomenal. It is one of my, it's in the my top five favorite movies of all time. I freaking love this movie. It's by far Chris Evans' best fucking movie. He's gonna be in a movie, I believe, called Knives Out with Daniel Craig, that I believe is coming out May. I think 2020 is probably when it's coming out into theaters. But it's Chris Evans' best performance, in my opinion, to this point. He does great in the Marvel movies, but like as far as performance goes, Snowpiercer is his best fucking movie. Snowpiercer is his best movie in general. It's so fucking great. And just to basically give you guys a quick idea of what the movie is about, it's about basically Earth had a global warming problem. Scientists thought they could figure or cure it, I guess, or solve the problem by launching rockets into the atmosphere where they would explode and release this element. I believe the element has an actual name. I can't remember it off the top of my head, but it's supposed to be some sort of freezing agent into the atmosphere, and it would help cool the Earth. However, it worked too well, and it pretty much froze the Earth over, as I pop my fingers because they're stiff. And it basically froze the Earth over, and the rest of humanity pretty much took shelter on a train. And basically, the back of the train is the very, very, very poor, and then the front of the train, you get progressively more rich, the more well-off people. From the little animated trailer they showed with a little bit of live action, or what looked like live action at the end, it showed that, because it is based off of a comic, I believe. I don't remember. I think it's a French comic, and I believe the movie was adapted and directed by a Korean guy, I believe, a South Korean guy, I believe. But the trailer that they showed not too long ago, this past week, seemingly showed that the train was originally just for the rich, but then the poor people, the regular people, kind of banded together to take over the train and kind of hop on it. But you know, at some point, if they're going to follow the movie at all, like I said, I haven't read the comic or anything like that, but if depending on what they follow and how well they follow it, I think it is basically going to turn into like these poor people do get on the train. However, the rich and the poor get separated, with the rich going more towards the front, and there's a security force that's kind of formed, and they kind of push them towards the back and stuff like that. And it's a super fucking interesting concept. In the movie with Chris Evans, you really get to see just like the diversity of the train going from the back to the front. You get to see like the water treatment portion of the train, the classroom portions where they're teaching kids and stuff like that. You get to see the poor people eat nothing but basically like these protein bars, and you get to see what the protein bars are made out of, and it's pretty fucked up. But it's super fucking interesting movie. I highly recommend everybody watch the movie, and I really want people to watch this new Snowpiercer show. I want a lot of eyes on it, because I think it's, and I hope it's going to be fucking fantastic. I hope, like I said, I believe it's TBS. I really hope it's fantastic. I'm super excited to watch it, and hopefully they just do a fantastic job with it. And if it is fantastic, I do want them to do several seasons of it. I don't want this to be like a, like DC Universe's Swamp Thing, where they cancel it before the season one even aired, but then season one did so well, got highly rated, got tons of watches and stuff like that, but it's still canceled, and I'm pissed about that, but whatever. But please go watch Snowpiercer, the movie with Chris Evans. It's fucking fantastic. It's one of the best movies I've ever seen, and I love it. Next thing I want to talk about is they released a trailer for Star Trek Picard. And I'm not a huge Star Trek fan. I've seen bits and pieces of some of the older Star Trek series. I've seen the new trilogy, Star Trek Into Darkness and Beyond. I really like all those movies. And I've seen Star Trek Discovery Season 1. I've not seen Season 2, but I did watch Season 1, and I really fucking liked it. I really liked the concept of this chick kind of being blamed for mutiny and stuff like that, and then she kind of works her way up back into this new crew and stuff like that. And how she's seen as a bad guy and a prisoner at first. Like, I just thought that concept was really fucking cool. And I really enjoyed the Season 1 a lot. I'm really excited to see Season 2. I believe it's coming out on Blu-ray and DVD November of this year. I want to say, I'm not 100% sure about that, but I'm super excited to see it. And I really like Discovery. Picard, I don't know how well I'm going to like this show. The trailer was pretty interesting. It does seem like it shows Picard kind of having some disagreements with the way is it called the Federation or whatever? Group he was part of. Like I said, I don't know much about Star Trek, but it does kind of seem to show that he is kind of disagreeing with the way things are run a little bit now, and they're saying that he has no say because he's pretty much retired and all that stuff. Like, he has no say in anything, even with his, you know, distinguished career that he had. And it seems like, you know, fucking Patrick Stewart seems to be acting his ass off. He seems to love being in the role again. He seems to love just being in the Star Trek universe again. We get to see some familiar characters, which I thought was really cool, even if I'm not too familiar with the past series, Next Generation. I still did recognize some of the characters. I thought that was cool that they brought them back and stuff like that. But, I mean, overall, it just seemed like it would be, it just seemed like it would be alright. I think it'll be, I don't know if it'll quite pass Discovery for me, because I really like Season 1 of that. Hopefully Season 2 keeps up the momentum, but I'm gonna watch this. I'm gonna watch Star Trek Picard just because Discovery surprised me so much about how much I would like it. So I do want to give Picard a shot, and plus I like Patrick Stewart. I love watching anything he's in. He's a fantastic actor. He always puts his all into it, so I think I'm going to give it a watch, and we're going to see how well that goes. I hope it's really good. I saw a lot of people complaining on Twitter. I saw a lot of people excited, but I also saw a lot of people complaining, because there are a huge chunk of Star Trek fans out there that don't like Next Generation, which, you know, is teach their own, I guess, but you know, I don't know. It seems like a lot of the Star Trek fandom has been divided over the recent Star Trek output for stuff, so that kind of sucks. But that is going to go ahead and end the trailers segment for this podcast. I kind of want to go just real quick because I didn't really pick up too many things this past week. I just kind of want to talk about the one pickup I got to add to my anime collection, which is the Tokyo Ghoul Re Part 2, and I got the limited edition of it. Anytime, I love Tokyo Ghoul. I fucking love Tokyo Ghoul. The manga is excellent, and I even really love the anime. The first season is very good. I even really love the second season, Route A, for what it is. I think it's highly underrated. And I have not seen any part of Re yet. I did get part one when it came out, and of course, like I just said, I got part two, but I didn't want to watch it until I had both parts, just because that's the type of person I am. But I love Tokyo Ghoul, man. I love the world and the concept of it and the characters. Just a fantastic anime, and I highly recommend anybody check it out just because it is so, so, so good. Especially read the manga. It's just so fucking great, man. I love it a lot. And anytime Tokyo Ghoul has come out with like a collector's edition or limited edition of some sort, I have got it. And I don't do that for all anime. It just kind of varies by anime which one I want to get the limited edition or collector's edition of. Anytime Tokyo Ghoul has come out with one, I did get it. I did get the big collector's box they got that Funimation released for Tokyo Ghoul season 1. They just had a limited edition for season 2, which kind of came in like a little special box, and the DVD and Blu-rays in separate cases. That wasn't much of a special edition, but I did get that, and I got the limited edition for Tokyo Ghoul Re Part 2. They didn't do one for Part 1, because the thing Funimation seems to be doing recently is they'll release something in a limited edition set, and then the limited edition set will have room in it for the future parts. And they did that for this, however, they've been pissing me off lately. They did, as I hit my stand with my microphone on it, they did this thing with Darling in the Franxx. It came with you could get, season one, or, well, part one, in a limited edition, and it came with, like, I believe it came with a book, the Blu-rays, and, a little box full of, couple extra little goodies like art cards and stuff like that. But, and they say that when part two is released, there's room for part two. But if you look at the limited edition set for part one, there's no room in it. The only way to make room for part two is to remove the box full of the extra goodies that you get to put the other part in there. And then what they want you to do with the extra goodies, I don't know. Throw it away, do whatever with it, I don't know. But they just, like, if you're gonna release a box set to fit all the parts, it needs to fit all the parts plus the extra goodies that you provide. Like, why do I have to remove something for the box in order to fit the actual part in it? And I hate that they did that. And they did it with Tokyo Ghoul Re Part 2. So I have the limited edition of Part 2 with this box. However, I can't put Part 1 in it because in order to do that, I have to take out the extra goodies. And what I'm going to do with the extra goodies, I don't know. Do they want me to throw them in the trash? What do they want me to do? I don't know. They're not stuff... I mean, the extra goodies are like acrylic plastic sort of stands of Kaneki and stickers and stuff like that and a pin. Well, it's like, I'm not going to use the stickers and stuff because I don't like putting stickers on stuff. I'm not going to put the acrylic stands up. When I get a collector's edition of something, I like keeping all that stuff together in the box. And that's just me personally. Maybe other people will use that stuff, put the stickers on something or whatever, and that'll be fine. And then they could put the part in there. However, that's not me. I like having everything together. I get the collector set because I want the set. I want it to all be together. I want it to be on my shelf with my anime collection. I don't like having to remove things in order to fit other things in the fucking box, and it irritates me that Funimation has been doing that, but whatever, I guess that's enough of my rant on that. But I did get Tokyo Ghoul Re Part 2, the limited edition, and I love Tokyo Ghoul, man. I've not seen any parts of Re yet. I've heard nothing but good things about Re for the most part. Of course, you always have those complaints about, it wasn't adapted perfectly or anything like that, but Like, for me, I've read the manga, and if the anime was adapted perfectly to the manga, then I wouldn't feel the need to watch the anime, because it would be, if it's the same throughout, I'd be bored. It's like I'm reading the manga again. Seeing everything in motion, while is, you know, awesome, is not a reason for me to, you know, to watch the anime, if it's exactly the same as the manga beat for beat. So there needs to be some differences, there needs to be some artistic liberties taken. I never understood the argument of, like, it's never adapted closely enough, when it comes to, like, movies and stuff that are adapted from a book, because that would be too boring, and then you would just have people complaining about that they were bored in the theater because it was too much like the book, and yada yada yada. But, I highly recommend anybody watch Tokyo Ghoul, especially if you're an anime fan. Even if you're a light anime fan, I think there's a lot of stuff in Tokyo Ghoul that will get you excited. Some just really cool action, some very good storytelling and great characters, and of course the really cool, like, horror type themes that are in the show. Just the concept of the ghouls and stuff living amongst humans, almost indistinguishable from humans and stuff like that, is just really, really awesome. And I fucking love Tokyo Ghoul. It's one of my favorite series of all times, and it's one of my favorite manga of all time, so I really think a lot of people should check it out. Next, we're going to talk about some reviews and stuff, of some stuff that I watched this past week, or some stuff that I started watching, kind of want to give some impressions on, and we'll go from there. So I did watch, last week I did talk about how I picked up Doom Annihilation. I did watch that, and it wasn't terrible. I have to say, there are some things, like, with the original movie, with The Rock and Carl Urban, there were some parts of that movie that, you know, the movie could have been alright if it just stayed consistent throughout, and it didn't really do that. The ending of the movie got too ridiculous, and it really loses its footing. The movie was never going to be great, but it could have been just at least kind of just there, and just kind of existed. However, it really lost its footing at the end and just got too ridiculous. And that's what happens with a lot of movies, unfortunately. However, I can say with at least Doom Annihilation that the movie is pretty consistent throughout in just about every way. It never gets too ridiculous at any point. The acting is pretty solid throughout. No person in the movie is a terrible actor. Some of the lines that they're given, some of the dialogue is a little bit cliched and kind of stupid, you know, but that's not the actor's fault, that's the writer's fault. Of course, you do have your basic Doom-isms, like the BFG 9000 and stuff like that is in the movie. Doesn't get used a whole lot, honestly, but it is there, and it does get an introduction scene to give it some spotlight or whatever. And, but I have to say the movie wasn't terrible. The movie doesn't, like, commit any sins that make it unwatchable or anything like that. The movie never offends me. Anything the movie does is pretty solid throughout. Like, the special effects are okay. Like, they're not great, and they're not, like, awfully bad, but they kind of pick a style for the special effects and then they stick with it, even if parts of the you can tell that the special effects aren't great. It's not like parts of the movie have better special effects than others. The special effects are pretty solid throughout the whole movie. There's no part of the movie where they're better in parts or worse in parts. They're pretty, you know, solid throughout the whole movie, how they're supposed to be. If you hear any creaking, that's me rocking in my chair. I apologize for that. But, and the acting was all right. It did seem like the movie lacked sets, because the movie does visit many of the same places many times. So there's not a whole lot of sets or anything in the movie, so the movie does feel a little bit small because of that. But at the same time, it also needs to, because it's in this facility on a Mars moon. So if it had too many sets and all the sets felt too different, you wouldn't believe that they're stuck in the same place or whatever. So I kind of understand that. But the movie is just kind of okay. It doesn't do anything to really offend me to make it seem like a really bad movie. It's just kind of there, I guess. So I guess in that respect, I think it makes it a little bit better than the original movie. But like I said, there's just some dialogue choices that are kind of dumb that don't really need to be there. And like there's a conflict between like the lieutenant of the group and the rest of the group because she did something and they are kind of mad at her for that they don't really expound upon or anything like that, so it feels kind of forced in there. And then the ending is super abrupt and made me a little upset because it was left to like a sequel kind of, and like they could end it with this movie, like they could, but it would have, it's definitely an ending I think would deserve a sequel. But it's like, you know they're not gonna make a sequel to this. Why the fuck would they make a sequel to this? Unless, 'cause is it Universal, I believe, made this movie? I think so. And they did what, fucking six Tremors movies? So maybe they will make a sequel to this just because, like, why the fuck not? But I don't know. It was just kind of retarded. But the movie was kind of all right. It didn't offend me in any way. It wasn't inherently bad in any specific category or anything like that. It was just kind of there. The next thing I do want to talk about is one I was super excited to watch and actually really made me happy was Fooly Cooly Progressive. I was super excited when they announced Fooly Cooly Season 2 and 3 because I fucking love Fooly Cooly. It's one of my favorite anime of all time. It's just ridiculous and God, I love it. It's so good. And I was super excited when they announced season 2 and 3, but I was also skeptical because, it had been so long, and, who knows if they could keep up the momentum from the first season. And I was kind of sad that they weren't really keeping any of the main characters from the first season, like other than Haruko. She was really the only like reoccurring character in this season. So I was kind of a little upset like that because I just love the original character so much. But I have to say, man, Fooly Cooly Progressive was pretty freaking great. I liked it. I could see there's always going to be a divide in this because you're going to have those people who are just so diehard to the original series, since it had been so long between Season 1 and Season 2 and 3. You're going to have those people that are just diehard for the original series and don't want to admit that the new stuff could be even remotely good or anything like that. And me being one of those people who have seen the first season so many fucking times and saw it years and years ago, and I love it. I really liked Season 2, man. It had been a long time since I'd laughed at anything that much. Fooly Cooly Progressive is truly fucking hilarious, and I loved it. I think it's fantastic. I really came to even all these new characters. I really liked all the new characters in this season. Haruko was amazing. Same voice actor too, which is fucking great. You can't replace her voice actor because she's so just perfect for that character, and her voice is excellent. I did watch this in English because I did want to hear Haruka's voice in English because the English dubbing for the original season is just spot fucking on. And for the most part, the voice acting in this season is pretty great too. Haruko, or Haruka, whatever. Her voice acting is still fantastic and is excellent. And all the other characters did pretty good as well. They didn't really stand out to me a whole lot. I think most of the things that felt weird about the voice acting in this season, when watching it in English, it's just the translation going from Japanese to English, but for the most part they did okay. But man, this sh it was fucking hilarious. I'm super excited to watch what is the second season called? Alternative, I think. Or the third season, I think it's called Alternative. I'm super excited to watch it because Progressive was fucking fantastic, and it felt just like a new whole adventure, and was still tied to like, it was still tied to the original series because you meet some characters who are related to some characters from the first season, so it's nice that it's still tied together a little bit. And it's, God, it's still hilarious. It's random as shit. If I would had to say something, it felt like season one was a little bit more random and crazy and out there, as I have a hiccup. Then season two was still like really random and crazy, but it felt like it kind of stuck more to its general story than season one did, where season one was like story, random moments, a little bit of story, random moments. It seemed like the progressive kind of stuck to the story more while intertwining the random moments into it and like into the story. And while on paper I think it makes more sense to go progressive's route in terms of that, I think it just depends on the context of that stuff. So I think whether you like the way season one did it or season two did it is going to be on your personal taste. It is kind of weird the as far as like art and animation goes for these seasons and stuff like that. Man, season one just has like a really classic look and just looks amazing. The art and animation in season one is phenomenal. And definitely, you could tell when they were making Fooly Cooly, the original season, it was not meant to be a huge hit, and they didn't have the resources for it to be like a huge, big anime or anything like that. And it was definitely like its look kind of became like a cult classic thing, where. That kind of made season one feel like an anime that, was always going to be season one always felt like an anime that was always going to be a second tier anime or become a cult classic. They knew from the very beginning it wasn't going to be like a huge thing or anything like that. Ultimately, it ended up kind of did, but mostly became a cult classic. Where Progressive definitely feels like a cult classic that has the money to be, like mainstream, so to speak. So that could also irritate some people because it still kind of has that cult classic mindset. However, with the art and animation stuff like that, it's more fluid, it's more solid. There's more kind of detail and stuff like that, so it kind of has a little bit more of a mainstream kind of thought put into it in terms of its art and animation. And I feel like that could maybe upset a few people, because you can sometimes feel like, oh, they've lost their way because they got money and stuff now. But I don't think that's the case. I think if I was going to pick between the art and animation, between the original and the new, I would probably pick the original. I kind of like the more gritty style. However, I do think Progressive did look fantastic. It's so fucking colorful, and especially in like the fight scenes and stuff like that, and especially later on in the season, the last two episodes, especially. The art and animation is just fantastic. It's very fluid, looks beautiful throughout. There is like an episode, I don't remember if it's episode 4 or episode 5, that the animation and the art style just changes completely. I don't know if they did that on purpose. It kind of felt like they did, but it was kind of just one of those things where it made me question whether they did or not, and I wasn't exactly sure. However, it did seem to level out in the last episode or so. So I don't know why they did that. It was just kind of weird, but I think it's really fantastic. I really would hope anybody who's seen the original series will watch this with an open mind and just it does feel different. Kind of the first season, the original season does kind of have like an isolated feel to it. Like, it's hard for me to explain, but if you watch it, you definitely feel isolated a little bit. You definitely feel like you're in your own space. Where season two definitely feels a little bit more involved. The season two does kind of get involved in its own world a little bit more. So they do have different feeling. They do have different feels to them. So I'm interested to see what Alternative is going to be like. See if it has its own separate feel, because then it would make more sense to me that, each season is supposed to feel like its own separate thing and be its own sort of kind of message and meaning and feeling in its story. So I'll be interested to see if I feel that way when I watch season 3, but for definitely season 2, it definitely feels a lot different, and it feels like that was on purpose. But I would really recommend anybody fucking watch it, man, because it's still super hilarious. Haruko or Haruka, I can't remember which one it is, goddammit. Small variations of names frustrate me because I can never remember, but it's. she's still hilarious as hell, and her being those her their like teacher and stuff like that. A little bit of a spoiler here, but she's like a teacher, and then she like makes the kids watch what is presumably like a sort of porn. God, it was just hilarious. I loved it. I loved every fucking minute of it. It was great. The next thing I want to talk about is I did see Joker in theaters, and while this is still in theaters, I don't want to talk about it too much. I don't want to give away any spoilers or anything like that, but just to kind of help, I guess, assuage anybody's fears for the movie, I do want to tell you that the movie is fucking fantastic. It is a phenomenal fucking movie, and I like that DC is making movies like this, these just weird oddball sort of movies with their characters. As much as I hate Suicide Squad, I do like that that movie is very different than a typical comic book and superhero movie. And I do like that they are making movies like this, man. Joker is just fantastic. Just to kind of give you guys some ideas about the movie, so I can kind of get you going into it, because I feel like a lot of people could be disappointed about this movie, depending on how they go into the movie, because this isn't a Joker movie. This is about how Arthur Fleck becomes Joker. I believe his name is Arthur Fleck. I know it's Fleck. Can't remember the first name exactly. I think it's Arthur, but the movie should probably just be called Fleck or Arthur Fleck, because this is about how Arthur Fleck becomes the Joker, and probably the last, I don't know, maybe 30 minutes? I'd say probably about the last 30 minutes is when he actually becomes the Joker. He's donning the suit and the makeup. He is the Joker. And there is a good bit before that where you just see him kind of slowly declining into being the Joker, like getting put in that mindset. However, a large chunk of this movie is a pretty slow burn, because it really tries to drive home why someone would turn out like this, like why someone would turn out to be like the Joker, and just all this stuff that had to happen and this snowball effect that happens to him becoming like this. Like, it is a fantastic movie, and I really have to give the filmmakers and Joaquin Phoenix credit for just what they accomplished with this movie, because it is so fucking good. And like I said, it is a little bit of a slow burner. It's about how he became the Joker. It's not so much a Joker movie. It's not Joker just going ham on the town. But God, it's fantastic. I just love the build up to this movie. A lot of the times the build up can be hastened and feel sloppy, but this movie really does take the time to make him the Joker and really make you believe why someone would become this way. And I know there's been a lot of articles and a lot of people, kind of protesting this movie, saying that, you know, they're trying to get you to sympathize with this person and stuff like that, and that's definitely not the case. If you actually see the movie, I never once throughout me watching this movie really sympathized with him. Like, I felt like, oh, you know, that sucks, this stuff that's happening to him, but I never sympathized with him because ultimately, he becomes the Joker, and I can't sympathize with that. Like, I can sympathize with him to a point where I can say, like, oh, it sucks that that stuff is happening to him. People definitely should be nicer to him. Society should definitely be nicer to him. He shouldn't have to go through all this shit. But I do not sympathize with the fact that he is taking all this stuff and connecting it in a way that would make him turn out to be the way that he turns out, the Joker. So when you watch the movie, you don't sympathize with him, or you sympathize with him until you get to the ending. Like, if you're a normal, healthy human being, you will sympathize with him until he turns out to be the Joker. And then once you get to that point, you're like, okay, dude, took it too far, little much. So don't let any of those fucking people out there let you not see this movie because they say that, you know, they're trying to turn people violent, they're trying to make people sympathetic to this character, and that's definitely not the case. You won't feel that way. I promise you, you won't feel that way. This movie is very, very well thought out in that regard. I definitely feel like they took that stuff into consideration as they were making it. And it is pretty interesting. Actually, that's kind of a spoiler. I guess I probably shouldn't talk about that too much, but they do kind of slightly connect it to other stuff related to the DC universe and stuff like that. But just a fantastic movie. The acting was fantastic. The soundtrack was great. Joaquin Phoenix acted his ass off. I cannot recommend this movie enough. Please go watch it. You owe it to yourself to see this movie. It's probably my favorite movie I've seen this year. It's just, God damn, it's so great. Just real quick, a few other things I want to talk about. These ones will be really quick. I just kind of want to give some thoughts on them. I've watched a little bit more into Reborn, and I've gotten to like the first big conflict in the series, which was about episode, I believe 20 to 25, somewhere around there. And I got to the first conflict, and I really liked it. I really liked them showing the main character, Suna, I believe his name is. Being able to really use its powers and get to some of the cool stuff that I wanted to see earlier in the show, but I really like that he was able. He got like these new gloves and stuff like that, and being able to use his flames and stuff. I thought it was really cool. The show is definitely starting to pick up a little bit for me in that aspect. I just finished the conflict, so I can see that the season is gonna wind down for a little bit, get you a little bit more comfortable till we get into the next story stuff. I'm liking what I saw with the first big conflict. I'm really excited to see some more. It kind of got me a little bit more pumped up to keep pushing forward with it. I did start Doom Patrol last night. I got like three episodes in, so I'm about to start episode four. And God, I fucking loved it, man. Brendan Fraser can still act his ass off, man. Like he's not that ripped, chiseled dude he was, in the early to mid 2000s. But fuck, he can still act. He's great, man. And I love all the characters in the show. I like how they interact. Cyborg's kind of a dick at parts, how he just kind of shows up out of nowhere and tries to take charge and stuff like that. And he's like a fucking high schooler or something. But I like how all that characters interact. I like how it really took the time to show their backstories a little bit. In the first episode, the show's super fucking hilarious. Some of the special effects are a little off, but I kind of would have expected that. I think it kind of demands a little bit more of that stuff than like Titans did, but Doom Patrol, I think I'm only on the fourth episode, and I like it so much more than Titans. Like I thought Titans was pretty good, but and I'm super excited to see the second season, but man, Doom Patrol is just so much fucking better. Oh, I can honestly say that so far, unless the season really dips in quality in the last episodes, I fucking love this show, man. It's great. I'm really enjoying it. I'm really liking all the characters, how they feel different. Man, I just really like it. I mean, just sitting here, I want to gush about it some more, but I don't want to. There's not a whole lot I could talk about because, like I said, I'm only on the fourth episode. I haven't seen all of it yet. But I really like it. Just all the characters, how the way they interact, the world that it's set in, and it's just unforgiveness and just being ridiculous, like with the whole donkey. Like I thought that was funny. Just a really great show so far. I'm really enjoying it. I'm definitely excited to see some more tonight. And I did want to point this out. I believe it is on Android too, but with because I have an iPhone. With iOS 13, Instagram is now integrated with the dark mode, so now Instagram has like a dark mode. And it looks really cool. I highly recommend you guys check it out. If you haven't, just turn on dark mode on your iPhone and you can see Instagram just instead of all white. It's like all black. And I think it looks awesome, honestly. I think it looked really cool. I never thought they would do it because Instagram just seems to have like just that white look. I never thought they would change it, but they did. I don't know if Facebook itself will get that feature because Facebook owns Instagram, but you can change it to dark mode in Messenger and stuff like that, so who knows? But Instagram does look really cool in dark mode. I wanted to just kind of point that out, get that out there, let you guys experience that for yourself because I think it looks pretty cool. And I think you can do it with Android as well. I believe from the article I read, I believe it's like Android 10.0 or above or something like that. I can't remember, but you can definitely check that out. I think it looks really cool. The last thing I wanted to talk about briefly as I shuffle my papers here is this Martin Scorsese thing, and to kind of bullet point what Martin Scorsese said. I highly recommend you go read what he said word for word. I'm just going to kind of bullet point it here as we only have about 15 minutes left in this. Martin Scorsese was talking about Marvel movies, and he basically said how he tried to watch them, wasn't really for him. He hasn't watched any more of them, basically. He pretty much said they're he doesn't consider them cinema. He considers them more like theme parks, where people watch to have fun and stuff like that. And he said, like, actors, and I quote from this because I wrote this down specifically, actors doing the best they can under the circumstances. And then I'll just read the rest of what else I wrote. He said, it isn't the cinema of human beings trying to convey emotional psychological experiences to another human being. And to a point, I can understand. To a point, I can understand what he's saying. Because, like, even I myself, I enjoy watching Marvel movies. I go to the theaters and I watch almost every Marvel movie that comes out. Like I said, when I go see a movie in the theaters, I like it to be a fun movie because I like to have fun at the movie theater. So Marvel movies are perfect for that. And I can almost to a point see what Martin Scorsese is saying. Like, I myself don't consider Marvel movies to be like high cinema. They're still cinema because they're movies. I mean, regardless of whether or not if they play in movie theaters, I would still consider movies to be cinema because it's literally a movie. So it is cinema. But I wouldn't consider the Marvel movies to be like high cinema. To his point where he said they're like theme parks, to an extent I can agree with that. I would agree that Marvel movies are more like popcorn movies. I don't think they're meant to be like super high cinema deep movies. Even though they're in some Marvel installments, you can find deep themes in there. Like I think the first Iron Man and Winter Soldier definitely do have some, deep themes in them that are worth, talking about and worth exploring. But even still, the majority of the Marvel movies, I would say, aren't really high cinema. They're not really expanding the world of cinema all that much. Maybe from a technical aspect, I guess you could argue that they are, because they technical wise, they do some fantastic things over there. But like in general, just the art form of film, they don't really expand it that much. And they're not very deep films, even though some of them do have deep themes. I could agree to a certain extent that they are like theme parks. They're like popcorn movies. If I want a really deep film, I'm not gonna watch a Marvel movie. However, I will say that most of the time, I would much prefer watching a popcorn movie over something like The Irishman, for example, which is Martin Scorsese's next film gonna be out on Netflix at some point. But like I would much rather watch a popcorn movie than a movie like The Irishman, because generally, I mean, I do love watching serious films and I do watch quite a bit of them, but generally when I sit down and watch a movie, I just kind of want to have a little bit of fun, just watch a fun movie, and just kind of have a good time. Even though I do watch a lot of serious movies, and I do like them, I have a really deep appreciation for popcorn films just because they allow me to sit back, relax, and just have some fucking fun. And so most of the time, I would choose a popcorn movie over a serious deep movie, any day of the week. So to a certain extent, I could see what he's saying there, making the distinguishment between the two, but Marvel movies are still cinema. They are still movies. They still deserve to be as regarded as his movies or Steven Spielberg's movies or whoever's movies. They still deserve to be put in the same category. I don't think just because someone considers them a popcorn movie doesn't mean they don't deserve to be taken as seriously as one of his movies per se. Now, when he said actors doing the best they can under the circumstances, I don't know what he means by that because Marvel movies, especially like Endgame, have become some of the most expensive movies to make, which means they have the most eyes, the most manpower behind them. So what circumstances are he talking about? Like, what I don't know what he means by that. I don't know what circumstances, what I guess negative circumstances the actors would be under during these movies. A lot of these actors that are in these movies because they want to be in these movies. They want to be in this universe. They want to act with all these other actors. And like, from what I understand, like Marvel is like a lot of the actors just love working with Marvel and love being in this universe. So I don't know what circumstances he's talking about. They still have, you know, gigantic writing crews, great material is made for them, so it's not like these actors are working on shitty material. So I don't know what circumstances he's talking about. And I don't necessarily know why. I mean, I can understand if for him, cinema, when he says, it isn't cinema of human beings trying to convey emotional psychological experiences to other human beings. I can understand if that's what cinema means to him, and that's perfectly fine. That's a perfectly reasonable argument for him or for what movies mean to him, and that is perfectly fine. But for me, for example, that's not necessarily what a movie or a piece of cinema has to do. I don't really have any guidelines about what a piece of cinema has to do. I just go to a movie, I watch it, and I decide whether I like it or not. And that's basically what a movie means. Even if I hate the fucking movie, it's still a movie. It's still a piece of cinema. It's still a piece of history. That's like him. He's kind of, it almost feels like he's saying that, like, and I don't know how to word this exactly, but it's almost like he's, all the bad movies out there aren't considered cinema, but that's also like kind of saying like all the embarrassing moments of history shouldn't be considered history. And I just don't agree with that mindset. I think it's retarded. And especially if you like, when he says, isn't cinema of human beings trying to convey emotional, psychological experiences to another human being. Do you think Martin Scorsese would walk up to Steven Spielberg and say that about Ready Player One? I don't fucking think so. Like, because if you want to argue with me that Ready Player One is an emotional, psychological experience, you gotta be fucking kidding me. Like, Ready Player One is way closer to a Marvel movie than anything else like Martin Scorsese has ever made. Yet he would never walk up to Steven Spielberg and talk shit on that movie. He would never do that. Unless he has in the past, in which case, you know, I'll eat my words. But, like, I don't see Martin Scorsese going up to Steven Spielberg and saying that, and saying that Ready Player One isn't cinema. Like, I don't see him saying that. So I don't think his argument really has a whole lot to stand on. I think I could see what he's saying. I just don't think he portrayed it in a way that really made a whole lot of sense. I think the reason he thinks what he thinks is a little bit flawed. But the overall just blunt message of what he's saying, I think, makes sense for the most part. I could see what he's saying. Basically, he's just saying the Marvel movies are popcorn movies. That's fine, but that doesn't mean they're not cinema. And I hate the fact that he said that, because that's a little bit frustrating. But I don't want to, because I'm sure whenever he said that, whatever moment he said that in was kind of on the cuff, on the spot. He didn't really have any moment to think about exactly what he said. So, you know, he probably, if he was able to sit down and kind of form his thoughts a little bit more, a little bit better, he probably would have been able to say something a little bit more coherent and made a little bit more sense, in my opinion. But, you know, it's not like I'm mad at the guy for saying this. I just think the way he said it was a little bit ass backwards. But I mean, I like Martin Scorsese, I love his movies. A lot of people, when he first said this, I saw comments on articles talking about, you know, the movie Silence, how it took him 25 years to make that movie, didn't even really get put in theaters and was a commercial flop. But at the same time, I also have to say, like, I don't think people watched that movie, because Silence is a fucking fantastic movie. I own it and have it in my Blu-ray collection. I've seen it several times. I fucking love Silence. It's probably one of my favorite Martin Scorsese movies. I think that movie is just so fucking good. And I'm gonna see Irishman. I don't have my hopes very high for that movie, just because typically the Irishman, those gangster sort of style movies, aren't really for me. I don't tend to like them as much as other people do, but for the most part, you know, I will watch it and I will hopefully enjoy it. But I do really like Silence. I think it's fantastic. I love that movie. I still think Martin Scorsese is a fantastic film director. I really appreciate and respect his catalog and movies, and to a degree I, you know, respect his opinion. I just don't necessarily agree with it. And plus, I will say, like, even though the more recent Marvel movies, like Endgame being like over 3 hours long, and I think The Irishman is reported to have like a 3 hour length movie or runtime, even though I, you know, to go back with what I said about watching popcorn movies earlier, like how I would much rather watch a popcorn movie than a deep serious movie, even though I do like deep serious movies. At least for the most part, popcorn movies stick to, an hour and a half to 2 hours. I die a little inside when there's a movie in theaters that I want to watch and it's 3 hours long, because that's just a little too long for me. I just want to sit down for like an hour and a half to 2 hours, watch a movie, and be done. A movie being 3 hours is just, it's a little much. And getting to 2.5 hours is ridiculous as well. Like, no. 2 hours is fine, alright? Just, I instantly get more excited for a movie when I see on the theater page that it's an hour and a half or 2 hours. I'm like, yes, thank you. Because 3 hours for me is just too long. Every once in a while is fine. I know Endgame is one of those movies that didn't feel like 3 hours. I agree with that. And I really enjoyed Endgame, but it's just, I don't want every movie to be like that. For God's sake, please don't do that, Hollywood. But I think that's about everything I had to say about what Martin Scorsese said about Marvel movies. I don't think my opinions run much deeper than that. Unless I think of something else, which I may bring it up next week on the podcast or whatever, but that's about everything I had to say this time around. Thank you all so much for tuning in to the Movies Anytime podcast, episode 2. Hope you all enjoyed. Hopefully the audio was a little bit better on this one. Like I said, this podcast is very, I live a very simple life. At least I tried to, so I record this podcast on my phone. I did get a microphone for it. Hopefully it sounds a little bit better. If not, I will switch back. But like I said, I just wanted to make this podcast talk about movies and stuff like that while making everything very simple, just because I live a very simple lifestyle. This over preparing and getting all this equipment stuff is a little much for me. But thank you all so much for listening in. I may have said watching. If I say watching at any point, I'm sorry. I just can't help it. Force of habit, I guess. But thank you so much for tuning in to episode 2 of the Movies Anytime podcast, and I will hopefully see you guys next week, and hopefully with some more interesting stuff. I think some really cool movies and stuff are supposed to come out next week, actually, that I'm super excited to talk about. But thank you all so much for tuning in, and I'll see you guys next time.